Hello, Gallatin Valley and online listeners. You're listening to KGVM, Bozeman Community Radio, broadcasting at 95.9 FM and streaming at kgvm.org. I'm Roxana, and this is Desert Oracle Radio Replay. Well, I'm recording this as August winds down and September will begin soon. It's Labor Day weekend, and to all the workers and laborers, here's a call out. I hope you can relax this weekend and feel truly appreciated and supported. Like many of us, I have some plans to get some time on the trail shortly, so I chose a couple episodes for you today, and both were inspired by recent rains. Wow, we had such a gorgeous rain last night. Total thunder and lightning and just a downpour. And so far, it doesn't look like any new fires have started, so that's good. Well, first up is the most recent release from Ken Lane from August 28th, 2025. Here is Monsoon Mood. It includes some readings from Plutarch. What do you read on rainy days?
Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert, and autumn is in our sights and range. Be glad about it. Overall, it's been a very mild summer for the Mojave. One of the TV news stations in Los Angeles even had to put out a story about how cool it has been on the West Coast. In Southern California, not a record breaker, as very early records from L.A. show some equally cool summers back in 1925 or so. But still, it has been all right, been bearable, sometimes even pleasant in the mornings. The nights have generally been fine all summer long. Got behind the wheel early in the morning last week, or whenever it was, when it was 60 degrees at 7 a.m. And 3 or 4 months ago, it was 30 degrees at 7 a.m., windshield all frosted over. Live in the mountains and you will get some seasonal weather, Mojave Desert or not. It's mostly dry this time of year, and the monsoon rains rarely make it this far west against the mountains where I've been in recent years. I watched a big thunderstorm build up over 29 palms, and that monsoon moisture and heat got a cooking, and soon that whole side of the sky was a massive wall of blue, of gray, of sunlit white. The wind whipping around, and I thought, maybe it'll make it over here. The weather alert went off on the phone, warning of dangerous thunderstorms, flooding, etc., but it never got here. I could have driven over, parked somewhere, walked around, and breathed up that creosote humidity that is the sweetest perfume I know. But I did not, because I could see it was already breaking up, and by the time I drove a half hour to 29, it would just be puddles and potholes. The highway lined with wrecked sedans.
Desert Oracle Radio.
It happened again this week. I looked at the radar loop on the National Weather Service website, and there was a heavy downpour all around. The heaviest band seemingly right over the house, right on top of me. I went outside, smelled the rain in the distance, and not even a drop on the ground. Was hiking through a little canyon nearby, and I saw a rare sight for me, especially this time of year. A trio of black-tailed mule deer, including the smaller one, the youngling. There's not much to eat around here for the grazers like our western mule deer. Not much shade until you get up higher on the mountain either. So I was pleased to see them, and I greeted them with the appropriate psychic communication. They glanced back and then took their time going over the ridge. My dog did not catch the scent until they were out of sight. He was trailing behind. Nicole over at Cactus Mart sees the mule deer all the time where she walks. There's water down there, along with green trees and shady paths. I could use a spring a little closer to home. Or maybe a guzzler, like the one set up around Mojave National Preserve. All the critters on and around my property tend to enjoy a little water now and then when it's around. The cottontails and squirrels, the birds and the bees, and the dam dance. And the dam dance as well, the ones I find drowned by the dozens every time I fill up the patio water bowl. The doves, still cranking out chicks for another month or so, will come down from the nest box I made and just stand around the water. When I take out the bowl with the ice piled high on very hot days. And for an hour or three in the shade, that ice and the metal bowl makes for a nice outdoor evaporative cooler if you stand on it or next to it. The doves will take a drink or three, back off when the freeze brain hits, and then luxuriate in the cooler temperature there. But not the Roadrunner. The Roadrunner openly disdains that big bowl of cold, fresh, filtered water right out of the refrigerator. I'll see it out there in the 100-degree sun, eating whatever's crawling around out there, mostly ants and little lizards this time of year. And then it stands, maybe with half its tail in the halfway shade of a creosote, beak open in the heat. And then it moves very quickly across the shaded patio, glances over at the water, and flicks its tail in disgust, and off it goes, Old Man Roadrunner. The most raggedy-ass roadrunner known to science. Absolute king of the realm. No clucks to give. On a soft monsoon evening, the sky streaked with golden bands, tropical clouds drawn up from the Sea of Cortez. Everything is vibrant, coated in delirious light. No sound but the crunch of boots and dog paws in the sandy wash lined with desert willow and Mormon tea before you climb up to the mesa and through a high desert forest of Joshua tree and juniper. The birds are elsewhere today, jackrabbit and coyote too. So we sit for a while at sunset Great Apollo blazing over western mountains. Three slender cloud ships roll slow and graceful just above, while shafts of hurricanes stretch across higher altitudes. A slender crescent moon takes over for a brief dusky shift before following the sun over the horizon. A number of minor annoyances and maybe a crisis or two were heavy on my mind before this simple walk over landscape I know well. Nothing was resolved, nothing was delivered, other than an hour and a half of stirring vista vision scenes of the sort that always cause the movie orchestra to build up, to swell up, and sweeping romantic music. By morning, solid hurricane cloud cover had settled over the Mojave. The kind of sky that makes me think of New Orleans or the West Midlands. By morning, it's humid and warm at dawn. No night cooling when the cloud layer is there. I've been reading an interesting volume of Plutarch's Moralia, or Moral Essays, which this Greek historian and teacher of philosophy wrote some 1925 years ago, roughly 100 AD. If you know Plutarch, you likely first learned of him through his often thrilling lives of famous historical figures. A Greek life paired with an appropriate Roman life. Which is why the English translation is generally titled Parallel Lives. Plutarch's brief biographies of Alexander the Great and the outrageous Alcibiades are some of the best known, as is his famous life of Julius Caesar, the primary source for so many later writers, especially William Shakespeare, who recycled many fine lines from the English translation of Plutarch's Life of Caesar. That golden ring in Shakespeare's left earlobe was the fashion of piracy, you know? The privateers who prowled the ocean seeking treasure, mostly aboard the big Spanish galleons. And some of those English pirates were under the command of Queen Bess herself, which especially vexed Spain's King Philip II, who longed to marry and or kill Elizabeth, having already married Elizabeth's half-sister Mary, Bloody Mary, who died age 42 without leaving an heir. That golden earring Shakespeare wore was a mark of his career, his life, and the generally disreputable profession of acting. Or theater. The fashion had spread from pirates to playwrights, and the idea was that when you died, whether of plague or scurvy or drowning or the sword, the wealth hanging off your earlobe was enough for a proper burial. Maybe even enough to send your bones home to Dover or Bristol or your little hometown along the Avon. Avon comes from the old Brittonic word for river, which is still the word for river in Welsh. Avon. So the name River Avon means river, river. So Plutarch's Moralia, Volume 5 in the Loeb Classical Library, contains his works on religious ceremony and temples, starting with a beautiful description of Egypt's ancient practices, many still in use during his time, although the native Egyptian dynasty had fallen first to Alexander and the Ptolemies and then to Rome after Cleopatra's suicide or regicide in the year 30 BC. Shakespeare has a good play about that, too. It's kind of interesting that Antony and Cleopatra had conspired to give their three children rule of the Roman provinces of Judea and Tarsus, along with Crete, Cyprus, and Cyrene. Remember that Jesus from the Greek Gospels was born in Judea, while the primary inventor of the Christian religion, Paul, was a Roman citizen from Tarsus. According to the Gospel of Matthew, the only gospel that contains this story, Jesus spent his childhood in Egypt. And scholars say likely in the Jewish quarter of Alexandria, where so many scholars and historians of the ancient world labored at their works within the great library dedicated to the great Alexander. So when Plutarch was in Egypt, he was visiting as a dignitary and historian. Like Herodotus before him, Plutarch gained much knowledge of the rituals, rites, and divine genealogies of Egypt from the high priests themselves. And he was especially keen to share these findings with his dear friend and colleague, the Pythia of Delphi, the high priestess Clea, to whom he addresses the epistolary account titled On the Worship of Isis and Osiris. All good things, my dear Clea. Sensible men must ask from the gods. And especially do we pray that from those mighty gods we may, in our quest, gain a knowledge of themselves, so far as such a thing is attainable by men. For we believe that there's nothing more important for man to receive or more ennobling for God of his grace to grant than the truth. God gives to men the other things for which they express a desire, but of sense and intelligence he grants them only a share, insomuch as these are his especial possessions and his sphere of activity. For the deity is not blessed by reason of his possession of gold and silver, nor strong because of thunder and lightning, but through knowledge and intelligence. Of all the things that Homer said about the gods, he has expressed most beautifully this thought. Both, indeed, were in lineage one and of the same country. Yet was Zeus the earlier born, and his knowledge was greater. Thereby the poet plainly declares that the primacy of Zeus is nobler, since it is elder in knowledge and in wisdom. I think also that a source of happiness and the eternal life, which is the lot of God, is that events which come to pass do not escape his prescience. But if his knowledge and meditation on the nature of existence should be taken away, then, to my mind, his immortality is not living, but a mere lapse of time. Therefore, the effort to arrive at the truth, and especially the truth about the gods, is a longing for the divine. For the search for truth requires for its study and investigation the consideration of sacred subjects. And it is a work more hallowed than any form of holy living or temple service. And not least of all, It is well-pleasing to that goddess whom you worship, a goddess exceptionally wise and a lover of wisdom, to whom, as her name at least seems to indicate, knowledge and understanding are in the highest degree appropriate. For Isis is a Greek word, and so also is Typhon, her enemy, who is conceited, as the name implies, because of his ignorance and self-deception. He tears to pieces and scatters to the winds the sacred writings which the goddess collects and puts together and gives into the keeping of those that are initiated into the holy rites. Since this consecration by a strict regimen and by abstinence from many kinds of food and from the lust of the flesh curtails licentiousness and the love of pleasure, and induces a habit of patient submission to the stern and rigorous services and shrines, the end and aim of which is the knowledge of him who is the first, the Lord of all, the ideal one. Him does the goddess urge us to seek, since he is near her and with her and in close communion. The name of her shrine also clearly promises knowledge and comprehension of reality, for it is named Isian, the Temple of Isis, to indicate that we shall comprehend reality if in a reasonable and devout frame of mind we pass within the portals of her shrines. Moreover, many writers have held her to be the daughter of Hermes, and many others the daughter of Prometheus, because of the belief that Prometheus is the discoverer of wisdom and forethought, and Hermes the inventor of grammar and music. For this reason, they call the first of the muses at Hermopolis Isis as well as Justice, for she is wise, as I have said, and discloses the divine mysteries to those who truly and justly have the name of bearers of the sacred vessels and wearers of the sacred robes. These are they who within their own soul, as though within a casket, bear the sacred writings about the gods, clear of all superstition and pedantry. And they cloak them with secrecy, thus giving intimation, some dark and shadowy, some clear and bright, of their concepts about the gods, intimations of the same sort as are clearly evidenced in the wearing of the sacred garb. For this reason, too, the fact that the deceased votaries of Isis are decked with these garments is a sign that these sacred writings accompany them, and that they pass to the other world, possessed of these and of naught else. It is a fact, Clea, that having a beard and wearing a coarse cloak does not make philosophers, nor does dressing in linen and shaving the hair make votaries of Isis. But the true votary of Isis is he who, when he has legitimately received what is set forth in the ceremonies connected with these gods, uses reason in investigating and in studying the truth contained therein. But now let us take up again the proper subject of our discussion. Isis is, in fact, the female principle of nature, and is receptive of every form of generation in accord with which she is called by Plato, the gentle nurse and the all-receptive, and by most people has been called by countless names, since, because of the force of reason, she turns herself to this thing or that, and is receptive of all manner of shapes and forms, she has an innate love for the first and most dominant of all things, which is identical with the good. And this she yearns for and pursues. But the portion which comes from evil she tries to avoid and to reject. For she serves them both as a place and means of growth, but inclines always towards the better, and offers it opportunity to create from her and to impregnate her with likenesses in which she rejoices and is glad that she is made pregnant and teeming with these creations. For creation is the image of being in matter, and the thing created is a picture of reality. It is impossible to conceive of earthly things as being gods in themselves. For God is not senseless, nor inanimate, nor subject to human control. As a result of this, we have come to regard as gods those who make use of these things and present them to us and provide us with things everlasting and constant. Nor do we think of the gods as different gods among different peoples, nor as barbarian gods and Greek gods, nor as southern and northern gods. But just as the sun and the moon and the heavens and the earth and the sea are common to all, but are called by different names by different peoples, so for that one rationality which keeps all these things in order, and the one providence which watches over them, and the ancillary powers that are set over all, there have arisen among different peoples, in accordance with their customs, different honors and appellations. Thus men make use of consecrated symbols, some employing symbols that are obscure, but others those that are clearer, in guiding the intelligence toward things divine, though not without a certain hazard. For some go completely astray and become engulfed in superstition, and others, while they fly from superstition as from a quagmire, on the other hand, unwittingly fall, as it were, over a precipice into atheism. To Zyzik's and across the great Mojave Wilderness, this is Desert Oracle Radio, episode 250, with Soundscapes by Red Blue Black Silver. Desert Oracle is supported by our listeners. Many thanks to those of you who keep us on the air. Go to desertoracle.com and become a patron. And tell your friends about the show if you think they're up for the journey. Much cooler weather on the way around our desert lands. Get out there and appreciate it. Let them make you whole again. Repeat daily if you can, before daytime September brings back the heat for a little bit longer. Good night from the Voice of the Desert.
It's the bottom of the hour, and you are listening to Desert Oracle Radio Replay, broadcasting on KGVM Bozeman Community Radio at 95.9 FM and streaming at kgvm.org. Next up, from September 9th, 2022, here is Like a Hurricane.
Hurricane. Transmitting from the Mojave Wilderness in Joshua Tree, California, now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert. And if you are in the western Mojave around Joshua Tree National Park and all the way out to Kelso Depot and Las Vegas, you might already have the buckets out for any newly discovered leaks in the roof. Because rain is in the forecast for the whole region, up to 80% chance of heavy rain tonight in Yucca Valley. And really getting soaked along the Mexican border. Flood watch in effect from Yuma to Lake Havasu City. Rain possible throughout the weekend. And even if you miss the deluge, cooler temperatures are forecast through Sunday, all because of Hurricane Kay. Not the greatest hurricane name because it sounds like the letter K, and not what is apparently a name, K-A-Y, like okay without the O. Okay, hurricane. Imagine how nuts people would go if the National Weather Service had a hurricane Q. So the cloud cover and the rainfall will be much appreciated, with the flooding generally less appreciated. If it washes away your favorite stuff, like your house. But some relief from the heat dome, thank the gods for that. Because according to the biased media, it has been very hot in the American Southwest, a little warm out. Sorta democratic of this monster heat wave to sort of travel the northern hemisphere this summer and pick a continent to just sit on a while, like the wrestlers do on the TV. Half of America, then Europe, then Asia, then the other half of America, just kind of letting everybody know. Letting everybody know the news, which is, it's very hot, too much of the time. And now there's a tropical cyclone getting sucked up into Southern California and Arizona and Clark County. Who knows what that'll do? We woke up to rain on Thursday, which was lovely. And down in the low desert, Palm Springs and south to Enza Borrego, might get half a year's worth of rain this weekend alone. Nobody quite knows. The forecast models are changing so quickly, it overheated the computer over in the Las Vegas NWS office. It's funny how our weather predicting abilities were fairly steady for all of human civilization. And then in the last 50 years, we got satellites and News 8 Doppler radar and instant worldwide telecommunications and flash flood alerts on our phones. But we screwed up the climate so bad that now we can't predict the weather worth a damn all over again. So I guess we gotta go back to the rhyming weather rules of the old times, the old days. Something, something, sailor take warning, sailor's delight, which I can never remember any better than the ones about the differences between venomous coral snakes and non-venomous king snakes. Because the rhymes are all stupid and horrible, with a forced and clumsy meter and pointless variations of tense and singular plural, seemingly random omissions of necessary linguistic signals. So, of course, nobody remembers it right. This red. Red touches black. Red touches black, venom lack. Red touch yellow, kill a fellow. Red touch black, safe for Jack. Red touch yellow, kills a fellow. Yellow touching red, you're dead. That should at least be you are dead. Red against yellow can kill a fellow. Safe for Jack, red touching black. The Arizona coral snake doesn't even have any yellow. Confusion, which has led to the murder of many California king snakes, as none of it makes sense. Especially the killing of a coral snake. Which is of 0% concern to anybody unless they jam their pinky finger into its mouth. The only weather rhymes I can recall are the sailor rhymes, which are of no particular interest in the Mojave Desert. Desert, home sweet home, home anyway, for 2 decades now. It's not even that hot out here for the first week of September. We don't get fall until Thanksgiving. So it's still hot at Halloween, oftentimes. It's still so hot at Halloween in the Mojave Desert many years. As a precaution, every year the fire department's out on that one street where kids trick-or-treat in Yucca Valley, and they're ready to hose down any child who overheats, you know, like suffocating inside an anime prostitute costume, whatever they wear now. The few remaining kids around here. Oh, and the power goes out all the time, all summer long. It's like living in a very quiet war zone. You never know what's going on. green helicopters going overhead, back and forth in the middle of the night. But I notice that you rarely hear about the oppressive heat on the Bias News when they're doing their feature story on Joshua Tree. So they can write off a weekend out here. I know how it is. They never complain about the heat here, 115 degrees or whatever on a bad day, but let it get 103 in Santa Monica, and oh goodness, that might get a little uncomfortable for Harry Styles. Who, after a week of Harry Styles being constantly mentioned within some movie controversy on Twitter, I finally realized wasn't Harry Styles at all. It was a guy who played young Captain Kirk in one of those reboot movies of Star Trek. Twitter is sort of what the newspapers used to be, but instead of just a mishmash of sports scores and stock prices and recipes and TV listings and horoscopes and the family circus and grocery store coupons and various world disasters, and a front page split between local and national political outrages of the day, Twitter also features a bunch of insane strangers screaming at you to make sure you publish an immediate response to whatever this is, this thing you just heard about for the first time 45 seconds ago. I tried to follow what was going on with the flooding in eastern Kentucky and then the flooding in Pakistan, but mostly I just found people yelling at me for not taking it seriously enough. It's like if the daily newspapers included a dumb, angry goblin that would jump out and get in your face as soon as you got past the headline. Like that goblin in that Hobbit book, which was a delightful book from about a century ago and enjoyable to read as a child. Very funny and weird. You never hear about it anymore. This heat's not good for the brain. Turns out nothing much is good for the brain in the 2020s. TV rots it, the internet turns it to jelly, the miserable climate bakes it, 90% of what we call work is deliberately designed to actually erase the human brain. This has been proven. Podcast. There's a guaranteed way to reverse years of book learning and social skills. There's online gambling, TikTok. And then Queen Elizabeth II passed away, and it was like a bat signal in the sky to make everybody go extra double dumb. There were these incels demanding that the world pray to her, especially Americans, apparently, because she was their spiritual grandmother, godmother, apparently. And then there were the usual Twitter scholars who seemed to think she invented slavery in the 1950s. Just a flood of mental diarrhea, inescapable unless you're smarter than me and never turn on the computer or the news at all. Even the BBC seemed unsure of what to do in these times. Be respectful? Have a panel of tabloid writers discuss her terrible children and grandchildren? Field recordings of people crying and saying, I don't even know why I care. Only in Ireland did they seem to sort of be enjoying it all. So listen, we've got a flood watch bulletin marked urgent from the National Weather Service. And it says immediate broadcast required, so I guess I better read it. Flow around Hurricane K will push tropical moisture into Southeast California Friday and Saturday, fueling thunderstorms with heavy rain. And this part's all caps, so you gotta do this in weather radio voice. Flood watch in effect from 10 p.m. this evening through Saturday evening. Flash flooding caused by multiple rounds of excessive rainfall from 10 p.m. tonight through 12 a.m. Sunday. Impacts, excessive runoff from multiple rounds of moderate to heavy rainfall may result in flooding of rivers, creeks, streams, and other low-lying and flood-prone locations. For Las Vegas, Clark County, Southern Nye County, Mount Charleston, etc. 2 to 3 inches of rain with locally higher amounts over the Spring Mountains could result in significant runoff conditions that results in rapid flash flooding of high elevation trails and roadways. I don't know how they talk like that all the time, 24 hours a day. Additionally, lower elevation roads on the west side of the Spring Mountains, such as State Road 160 near Pahrump, could see flash flooding due to runoff. Oh, well, let's take a look at the forecast for Death Valley. Which has seen a bit of rainfall this summer. Multiple rounds of thunderstorms are possible through Saturday night, which will be capable of moderate to heavy rainfall. Rainfall totals of up to 1 inch will be possible, with some locally higher amounts possible. Many areas across Death Valley National Park have been heavily inundated with rainfall this summer, which will mean many washes will be primed for rapid runoff. And let's not forget the Morongo Basin. Highest amounts are expected in the Morongo Basin area, where 1 to 2 inches will be possible, especially for Morongo Valley, Yucca Valley, and Joshua Tree. Flooding of State Road. You know, I let State Road go on 160 because I thought maybe the person lives up in Pahrump and maybe that's what they call it in one particular area in Pahrump. But it's not State Road 62, it's State Route 62. Flooding of Highway 62 and secondary roads in the area will be the main concern overnight tonight and again Saturday afternoon. Make sure and set out your flashlights and charge your phone and whatnot, because we do get these emergency weather bulletins, especially about flash flooding, on the phones, but it doesn't work if you used up all your phone energy playing Candy Crush. Well, listen, friends, I've got some news regarding the Desert Oracle family of low-budget media operations. I quit. No, not yet. People underestimate the amount of labor involved in truly abandoning something. In our age, when Pentagon death drones hunt millennials who tried to break out of virtual reality and skip their interest-only student loan payments and maybe become a hippie in Thailand or wherever, they will hunt you down. No more running out for a pack of cigarettes and never coming back. The Apple Telephone Company is watching your every step. They are counting your steps. They're counting how many steps you took to how quickly it took to look away from the enormous blinking ad, and they hand it all over when the usual knock-knock it's the police arrives at the compliance department. Anyway, the Desert Oracle audiobook is out now. Wherever you get your audiobooks, so please enjoy it if you like that sort of thing. I know I won't use my monthly audiobook credit unless it's at least 4 hours long. The audiobook, I mean. That's my literary standard. And this one's nearly 7 hours long. I think it's a good production. Even got a little seasoning from old what's-his-name. Red, blue, black, silver. What else? The tour dates have been announced, and for most of these, tickets went on sale today, Friday, September 9. I will, put these dates on the website, desertoracle.com. That's a stupid thing to say at the end of a name for the rest of our lives, isn't it? It's .com. So New York is on October 6th at the old Village Gate south of Washington Square. Le Poisson Rouge is called now, which translates to the red fish, but somehow it means a goldfish. Or call it LPR if you're still saying freedom fries, which is what we used to say every September 11th. I wonder if anybody else remembers this. There were these fancy wine shops, and the owners were pouring out these beautiful, expensive bottles of French wine after 9-1-1 to punish France, I guess, for, I don't know, I don't remember. Just pouring it out in the storm drains for patriotism, to be on the news, right? Anything to be on the news. Pour your own wine down the drain. Look at me. Western side of the continent, Oakland, October 21st, Arcata, 1022, Portland, 1023, Vancouver, the Canadian Vancouver, not the Portland Vancouver, that's in Washington, Vancouver, BC, 1026, Seattle, 1028, Boise, 1030, and Halloween night in Salt Lake City at Metro. For the Pacific Northwest dates, we're going to have... Well, I don't know if he's got a stage name, or maybe he's in trouble with the law somewhere, so we'll say his name next week. But we will have accompaniment on a church organ of some kind, keyboards, they call it, musical keyboards. And we're trying to line up the same thing for some of the other cities. So get your tickets. I hope to see you out there. I look forward to it. Also, don't know how much longer I'm going to do this sort of thing. The traveling shows is fun, but it's exhausting. And then you get back and say hi to the mirror. Well, what was the point of all that? And then you're home again. There you are, scorpions in the sink drain, everything's dusty, you got laundry and dry cleaning to do, gotta get your teeth cleaned, big pile of mail you don't want to open. The check engine light is blinking, you forgot to throw out the bananas on the banana hanger thing. I keep trying to retire, but every time I show up at the retirement office, they tell me I'm ineligible because I don't even work there. Never have. From Amboy to Zizix and across the great Mojave Wilderness and beyond, this is Desert Oracle Radio, broadcasting from Joshua Tree from our home station, KCDZ 107.7 FM, and on your home station if you're listening elsewhere tonight. Thanks to Red, Blue, Black, Silver for the soundscapes tonight and for all the good stuff he's done on this program these past 5 years. Red, as we call him. Do we really call him Red? Announced that he's slowing down his musical output on this project, but we are lucky to still be getting some new tracks from him now and then, and Lord knows we've got a lot in the archives, so you'll be hearing him around these parts for I don't know how long, hopefully many more shows. There's only so much one person can do, and of course he's been busier than ever with the Ice Follies down in Cathedral City. And I don't want to sound like Mr. Safety, but if you're driving in the dark and in training and you see water crossing the road and you can't tell how much is there, don't drive into it. You don't want to be upside down on Highway 62 in the middle of the night, unable to get out of the car. Good night from the Voice of the Desert.
And now I'm wondering what our winter will be like. Well, that's how it goes. Thanks to Ken Lane and Red, Blue, Black, Silver for sharing their work on Desert Oracle Radio. Thanks to all the volunteers and supporters of KGVM, and thank you for listening. Do you have a story you'd like to share? You can leave me a voicemail or text at 406-404-6246. You can hear this program broadcast on the air at 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio, or you can stream it online at kgvm.org at 7 Sunday nights and 9 Monday mornings. Our past Desert Oracle Radio replay episodes are also available on demand on the kgvm.org website. I'll be back next week with more desert and mountain lore for you. Till then, watch the skies, keep doing good things, stay well, and sweet dreams. See you next week.